Well, let's talk about desperation. Have you ever had times in your life when you felt desperate? There's a wonderful psalm that tells us about the subject of desperation. And it's a psalm that I think will minister to you wonderfully. I know it has ministered to me. I'm taking a detour from our series on the names of God, and I really want to minister this psalm to you today. So would you turn with me to this wonderful psalm where the author David, that is the human author David, tells about a time in his life and what he experienced when he was at a point of desperation. Psalm 142 is the psalm. I'll give you a moment to find it. And then I will read it aloud. And of course, you'll follow along as I read it aloud. Psalm 142. There's a subtitle to this psalm, Mashiel, a prayer in the Mashiel of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And then he begins to sing the song, and he writes it for us. Verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately or secretly laid a snare for me? I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from the persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us about those times when we are in desperate situations. So let's pray. Well, God, you have spoken to us through this psalm about our lives as David experiences what it is to go through a time of desperation. And yet, all of us can think of times in our lives when we have been at points of desperation, and in those times you met with us and did a work in us that was wonderful. And other times we might have been in times of desperation and we didn't turn to you, and we look back and wishing we had. So I'm praying that today you would, while we are addressing this subject, that you would speak to us and minister to people so that wherever they are, that man, that woman, that young person, whatever he or she is, that when that person comes to times of desperation, that she or that he would turn to you and let you write the story of their life. And so it is with yieldedness to the Holy Spirit we ask this, knowing that unless he speaks through me as the preacher and to us as the hearers, that we will miss what you have for us. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to give freedom, and we yield to him, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you looked at that psalm, you noticed the subtitle. We're told it's written by David, but he uses a description there, Mashiel. Mashiel is a expression. Think of it this way. It's a teaching psalm. This is one of, I think there are six other psalms that are identified as Mashiel. And think of it this way. Whenever David goes through this experience, he writes a song about it. And he says, you know what? I have learned so much through this experience that I've had. I want to not only write it down, but I want to tell people about it and teach them what God taught me when I went through this time in my life. And so there is Mashiel of David. And then we're told something else about when he wrote this. He wrote this when he was, you'll see in your that subscript, he was in the cave. Now, there were a couple of times when David was in a cave and he was running from Saul. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. He had a heart after God's heart. Saul, who was the current king of Israel, had turned his heart from the Lord and God rejected his reign. He was still the king, but after he was done, his children would not reign in his stead. David would be the next king. And Saul figured this out after a while, that David is the one that will next be the next king. And oh, he was enraged with jealousy. He tried to kill David a number of times. And so David flees and he's on the run. And as he's on the run, he is at points in this time, he comes into caves and he's hiding from Saul. And at one of these times when he is hiding in a cave, David writes this psalm. You know, sometimes God allows us to be in a situation of desperation. And in this case, for David, he was even in the will of God. But God still placed him in a desperate situation. And really, this psalm is a biography of somebody who is living on the edge of desperation and yet has a passion for God. And they have this dynamic that they are desperate and yet there's a passion for God that drives them forward. And David, in the midst of this desperate time, turned to the Lord and he said, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you write the ending to my story. And that's the way it is for you. When you're at a time of desperation, you can turn from the Lord or you can turn to the Lord. And when you turn to the Lord, you're saying, God, I'm going to let you write the end of my story. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want God to write your story? So you'll notice this psalm begins in verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, the cry of desperation. So much so that David writes a song about it. And he is teaching us as he's singing his song. And so as he's writing this song, he is also praying, because this is a prayer that he writes. So his song is a prayer. He's praying and he's preaching to us. And he's singing. And you know, that's really tells us about the power of music. You see, music has the power to express things that we may not say in speech easily, but music, a text and truth brought together with music that brings it together so we can communicate, and then our hearts respond to the truth. And as we sing, it isn't just going through words. Oh, if that's all you get, you've missed the point. It's a heart that is seeking God and crying out to God. And so David, in this passage of scripture, gives us his cry of desperation. And anybody who is living on the edge of desperation and has a passion for God can understand what it's like, because you've been in this very place. Maybe you were in a cave. You probably weren't in a cave, but maybe you were at some point. But you know where it is to be in that place. And you know the cry of desperation. Well, then after the cry of desperation, David continues to sing and pray and preach to us. And he tells us about the complaint of desperation in verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Now, this is not necessarily rebellion, the complaint of accusation. This isn't the fist raised. God, why did you do me that way? God, what are you doing? You have no right to do me like that. No. This is the really rather a rehearsal. Lord, let me explain to you what's happening. It's a complaint of explanation. And He says, now, Lord, let me just make sure I put it before you. I'm going to tell you, here's my situation. How many of you have ever had that conversation with God before? He said, all right, Lord, here's the deal. And you put it out before the Lord. You're not complaining and accusing God. You're just putting it out there and saying, Lord, here's what I see. And I can imagine David as he is in this cave. He's running from Saul. And he says, now, Lord, when I was a teenage guy, I was just out keeping dad's sheep. I didn't ask for this. You chose me. You're the one that anointed me king. I didn't choose that. I just happened to go see my brothers at the battle. And nobody else was standing up for you against that old Goliath. So, Lord, I had to stand up and kill. And all of a sudden I became this. Everyone knew who I was and was put in the king's court. And all of a sudden I became a warrior. And I was trying to live submissively to the king. And I was doing the right thing, Lord. Now here I am. And I'm running from my king. And I'm in a cave. Sometimes you have these conversations with God and you say, you know, God, this is the deal. And not necessarily accusing God, but you lay it all out before the Lord. So David is singing about this cry of desperation, and then there's the complaint of desperation. And then he tells something else that he's experiencing in his life at this time of desperation. He tells about the confusion of desperation. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever had times when it's just things are so overwhelming and you're on the edge of desperation and faith and you really are? On one hand, it's so challenging to the very core of your being. And it's also, it's exciting because you don't know what's going to happen. It's very exciting. It's challenging. It's exciting. You're overwhelmed. You're confused. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? You say, you know, that is not the kind of excitement I want in my life. Are you happy not to have that? I'm not happy not to have it, but it happens, right? And so, since you know what that's like, then you can really appreciate David's prayer song in the next verse of this song. He writes, verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You see, David sings and he prays and he teaches us this. When I am confused and overwhelmed, I remember that God is not. Is God ever confused and overwhelmed? No. We are, right? Right? So I remember. See, to me, it's just an overwhelming thing. But God is not confused. He is not overwhelmed. My God knows where I am, and He knows what I should do. I may not know what I should do, but God knows where I am, and He knows what I should do. Was God taken by surprise? He looked down from heaven and said, oh my goodness, how did David get in that cave? Look at that. Was God surprised? No. Was God distant? No. God knew exactly what was going on. But David understood, when I'm confused and overwhelmed, I remember that God is not. And aren't you glad that He's not? Then David has another lesson to teach us as he prays. It's this. When I am confused and overwhelmed, I realize there are potential traps that can ensnare me. Can I say that again? When I am confused and overwhelmed, I realize that there are potential traps that can ensnare me. So we keep reading in verse 4. I looked at my right hand, verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed and within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately, secretly laid a snare for me. He said, you know, I'm in this really tough situation, but I realize that there are enemies, and those enemies are trying to entrap me. And I realize that I could make a decision here and fall into those traps that I'll really regret. You know, whenever you are in times of desperation, you don't think straight. Thinking gets twisted. We don't think clearly. And that's why when you're in a desperate time, you need to step back and say, wait a minute. I realize that I could be trapped and ensnared. Make some decisions I wish I wouldn't have made. Say some things I wish and I wouldn't have said. How many of you say, yeah, I know just what that's like. I've done that before. Yeah. Can I share with you some traps I think that would be wise for us all to consider? Whenever you're in a time of desperation, be careful of the priority trap. Well, you've got so many things to do and so many things are overwhelming and you've got to do something. And the only way you can get this thing to work and work it out is you're going to switch around your priorities and take God's things and put them lower on my list because I've got to get this and I've got to do that. Wait a minute. You almost got trapped. It may be that you need to watch out for the wrong thinking trap. Rather than thinking according to biblical truth, my mind twists the wrong thinking trap. Maybe you've caught that one. There is the self-pity trap. Poor me. I'm oppressed. Everybody's against me. Poor me. The self-pity trap. Nobody in the world has it as bad as I do. Maybe you need to watch out for the self-sufficiency trap. I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I don't need God or anybody. I can do this thing. Maybe you watch out for the give up trap. And some people, it's just overwhelming. They just give up. Surrender. Sometimes people give in. They'll do anything just to feel good, and they'll go to substances. They'll go to actions to make them feel good just to find some kind of relief. And what happens when you fall into that trap? You might feel good for a minute, but in the end, you regret it. Let's see. Whew. So the psalmist tells about the cry of desperation and he sings about the complaint of desperation and he tells us and teaches us about the confusion of his desperation. But now David begins to pray and sing and he's preaching to us about the complete helplessness of desperation. And so we look at our Bible in verse 4, and he says, he sings, I looked on my right hand and beheld. And there was no man that would know me. Someone like of David's stature would very typically have a sentinel with them, a guard, and be on his right side. He said, I looked over there. No, just nobody's there. Just tells us how completely he felt, completely helpless he felt. And you and I at times when we realize and it seems that there is no protector that I can turn to. No protector to turn to. And I'm here and I'm vulnerable. You ever felt that kind of vulnerability? Well, then he goes on and he sings to us verse 4, continuing. He says, refuge failed me. And again, he tells us how completely helpless he felt and how you and I feel at times of desperation when he reminds us that there is no place I can turn to. I'm hiding in a cave. Where else do I go? And then he tells us another way how completely helpless he felt. In verse 4 again, he continues this, "No man cared for my soul. There is no person I can turn to." Imagine that. No man cared for me. That's how he felt. Now imagine how hopeless he was, but it may not be too hard for you or I to imagine at times that this is the complete hopelessness we sometimes feel when we are in the midst of desperate situations. And when the outlook seems hopeless, can I tell you, would you look up to the Lord? Now, when you start reading this, the longer you read these verses, the worse it gets. Well, I'm going to ask some of our younger people. How many of you all, let's ask everybody. How many of you remember the old show Hee Haw? How many of y'all remember Hee Haw? Oh, yes. How many of you have no idea what we are talking about? Okay. Now, Hee Haw, yeah. Listen, I don't know if everybody needs some Hee Haw, but a little bit of Hee Haw wouldn't hurt anybody, I don't think. I don't think it would. Now, it's been a long time since I've Hee Hawed, so maybe I looked at it again. I might think it isn't so great, but not that I thought it was so great back when Hee Haw was Hee Hawing. All right, so those of you that are that don't know what Hee Haw is, listen, go to YouTube. I'm sure it's somewhere on YouTube. And, you know, there are all these TV channels. There have to be Hee Haw reruns somewhere on a television channel somewhere, right? But you go to Hee Haw, and it's a variety show. So they would have, it's sort of like a country music variety show, and they would have country music musicians come in not like modern country music, like old country music, guitars and banjos and stuff like that. And then they'd have skits, right? And so very entertaining, as I remember it. But do you remember that one bit they would do? And they would sing, "Gloom, despair, and agony all me." How many of you know that? And after they sing that first line, what's one of the guys in the cast do? What's he say? Oh, come on, do it. Oh, yeah. I know you're dignified, but you couldn't hardly. Yeah. Oh, and then they'd sing, now I got to finish it. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. There you go. You're getting it. You're getting it. Maybe you need to start a new Hee Haw show. I don't know if I'd watch your Hee Haw show, really. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Right? Doom, despair, and agony on me. How many of you think you really miss Hee Haw now? No, you don't. I thought maybe you'd play along, but you're like, nah, after hearing that, no, we'll let it go. All right. Well, I guess when I read this psalm, I feel like I'm watching Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And you watch this man. He's in a cave and he just keeps going down and down and down further. But everything changes in verse 5. In verse 5, he changes because that's the first stanza, the first four verses of the first stanza. Verse 5 starts the second stanza. And you'll notice how everything changes. If you will, when David looks up, things begin to change. So verse 5, you'll see that he says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord." Now, you'll notice how it's similar to the first verse, but it's different. Look at verse 1. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." And now he's saying, I'm going to tell you what I did. And he's speaking to God in about this in second person. But he's thinking about all of his problems and how overwhelming it is and how there just seems to be no hope. I'm just so desperate. And he gets so wrapped up in his desperation. He just keeps going down and down. But things begin to change in verse 5. And he says, "Now I cried unto thee, Lord." His circumstance has not changed, but the focus of his life has changed. You see, I'm telling you that I can't promise that the circumstances of your life are going to change. Now, the chances are, because life does this, that the difficult times you're in, they will pass. And there will be others along the way. That's just the way life is. But I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be roses and come up with flowers and unicorns and rainbows. No, no, no. But I'm telling you that God can do things in your life when your focus changes and you begin to look to Him. So the second stanza of the song begins, and you'll notice that in this passage, he uses a very specific name for God. The uppercase letters, Lord, remember, that's the name Jehovah. In our series on the names of God, we'll eventually get to Jehovah. I've referenced this a number of times. This is the personal name for God. This is a God that doesn't change. This is a God that always keeps His promises. And David says now, Lord, I'm calling out to You. And now, God, I'm turning my focus to You because I need to know from You. You're the God that will always keep Your promises. I know You're there, but God, I'm really seeking You. And he closes his song with the confidence of desperation. Did I hear you right? Pastor, you said the confidence of desperation? That doesn't make sense. Confident in the midst of desperation? I say absolutely. Yes, it does if you know my God. So let me tell you why we can be confident in the midst of desperation. And in these last verses of this song, there are five statements that will give you confidence in times of desperation. You'll notice the first one. Here's the scripture in your Bible, Psalm 142, verse 5. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge. Here's the statement. When I have no refuge, You are my protector. Well, there's a song or a proverb that you ought to know fairly well. Proverbs 18:10. Say it with me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You see, whenever you come to the Lord and you seek the Lord, there's something that God can do. I can't explain it except that I know that God says He'll do it. And I know in my experience, and there are many others in their experience have found this is true, that when nobody else can protect you, God has a way of putting His hand of protection about you. You say, wait a minute. Pastor, confidence and desperation? Absolutely. Because when I have no refuge, You are my protector. Not only is the Lord my refuge, keep reading, if you will, verse 5. Not only that, but he said, you are my portion in the land of the living. What is my portion? Think of it this way. My portion is my place. It's my home. It's a place where I can go home to. It's a place where I can be. It's a place that I have. And David, remember, is on the run. He doesn't have any place he can go. As he's writing this and he's singing about it, he's in a cave. And here's the statement that gives confidence and desperation. When I have no rest or resources, You are my provider. See, I can't do this. But God has a way. He has a way. Oh, but there's more. Look in your Bible, verse 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And oh, here's the statement that will give you confidence in those desperate times. When I have overwhelming opposition and obstacles, You are my deliverer. Have you ever had overwhelming opposition and obstacles? You had a few of those? Oh, my. There's no way out. I don't see any answers. What am I going to do? be confident that God can. But it's not just that He can, that God will. Now, that means that you're going to have to wait with Him and you're going to have to work with God and obey the Lord. But listen, God can do, when you don't have rest or resources, God has enough. Enough. Well, David's not done. He has more to teach us and more to pray about and more to preach about. He says this to us in verse 7 as he speaks to the Lord, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." Here's the statement that gives you confidence. When I feel like a prisoner of my circumstances, change my focus from my problems to your praise. Now listen, don't we all, when we're times are difficult, don't we all want relief? We don't like the pressure. We don't like all the... If I could just get out of this. I just can't want rid of this. But my friend, listen, as long as the focus of your life is just get me out of this, God, you're going to miss the whole reason for it. David said, listen, I'm sure... Cave life isn't my thing. But God, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to know that this isn't about me anymore. This is about what brings praise to you. Because whenever you get me through this, God, it's not about just getting me through. It's about how the way I respond brings praise to you. See, God, I want you to write my story to bring praise to you. You get it? Now, as long as your life is driven by just trying to get relief in those times that it's overwhelming, you're going to miss it. Today's the day that you say, wait, things are going to change. It's not about me anymore. Wow. That's some strong preaching. It's not about me anymore. It's about what God is doing for His glory and His praise. Oh, and there's one more statement that will give you confidence when you go forward. The scriptures describe it for us as he closes out his song in verse 7. And he closes with these words, "The righteous shall encompass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Here's the statement that gives us confidence in the midst of our desperation. When I am seeking you in my desperation, give me the people around me to help me. See, God has a way of putting the people in your path that you know you need, He knows you need. Boy, I've been thinking about this. I've thought about this because I look back at so many times when God has put people in my life when I desperately needed their help. They didn't even realize sometimes how much I needed their help. And God put them in my life. How many of you have people like that that are, does it come to your mind? Man. And God will put those people into your life that you need. Now, we have to be humble enough to seek their help. We have to be humble enough to listen. But God will bring people around you to give you the help that you need. Has God allowed you to be in a situation of desperation? I say, look up. Look up. And look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. You see, sometimes the Lord puts you on the edge of risk-taking faith And in desperation, you come to him. He shakes you that the status quo is no longer acceptable. And sometimes he sends you into the realm of the unknown. And those times can become wonderful testimonies of the greatness of God if you'll respond to the Lord and turn to the Lord and let him write the end of your story. Now, how many of you believe that if you'll let God write your story, let him have his way and do whatever he wants to do in your life? How many of you think whenever that story is written, you'll look back and you'll be so glad you let God write your story? Yeah. Would you decide today to let him write my story? Would you stand with me, please?